The following talk was given at the Insight Meditation Center in Redwood City, California. Please visit our website at audiodharma.org.
So, kind of the theme that's been on my heart for a while now is this idea of beauty, the beautiful. And as I said earlier in the morning, that the Buddha said someone skilled in meditation is skilled skilled with the beauty of meditation. And this idea that there's also this idea in the ancient texts that someone would meditate focused on beauty. And it's a word for beauty is used repeatedly in the texts. And it's not really clear whether the word should be best translated into English as beautiful or beauty, but that's the first dictionary definition of the Pali word. But there are other words that the dictionary has, like goodness, moral goodness, virtue, that are included. It's also excellent. It's excellent. Excellency. And one of the common ways this word that's used, the beautiful, is to describe someone who is ethical. It says an ethical person has a beautiful character. Isn't that a nice idea? Someone has a beautiful character. And that the idea that the Dharma is beautiful at the beginning, beautiful at the middle, and beautiful at the end. As if the whole Dharma is not certainly the teachings of the Buddha, but it's also the path of practice, the ways in which we kind of deepen and deepen and deepen in the practice. And that as we're on the path of practice, it begins beautifully, the middle is beautiful, and ends beautiful. Though some of us who struggle at the beginning, in the middle and the end. Where's the beauty? But the sense of the beauty that's here. I think that part of this spiritual beauty that maybe that we can orient ourselves towards or practice with is can be understood as the absence of conceit. That all the different things that come along with conceit is not really that beautiful, or it doesn't resonate, or when we feel that absence in ourselves or in other people, there's an aesthetic quality to it. There's something inside of us that maybe kind of like looking at something that's really beautiful. Like you see an athlete who's really trained well, or a dancer, and it's just so beautiful to see how they are. I think there's possible to kind of feel in other people their character, the way they are in the world. It has a kind of a beautiful quality. And so the absence of hate and hostility, the absence of lust or ambition or conceit, envy or jealousy or cynicism, fear, and to feel a kind of one of the words that's related to this, you know, also translated sometimes as beautiful beauty, in Pali also means shining. It's a radiant, so there's no shining or clarity. It's an alternative, and then, as I said this morning as well, that what's interesting about the word beautiful or beauty is that it's such a subjective experience, and so to experience beauty in this world, to walk in beauty, to be connected to beauty, requires something inside to be subjectively tune into it, or to be attuned to it, or to be in harmony with it, to recognize it. And how do we make ourselves receptive or perceptive to something about ourselves, something about the mind, the heart, something about the world around us, where we feel or sense what's beautiful about it, the beauty in it? And is the path of practice a path of finding that beauty, finding something that is beautiful, something that we can't really say it's only inside or only outside? Because inside and outside are kind of, when it comes to beautiful, there's no inside and outside in the experience of the subjective experience of beautiful. If the experience is beautiful, it isn't so much that I'm subjectively aware of that thing out there is that's beautiful, or subjectively what's the qualities I have inside are beautiful. But there's something about the subjectivity that's beautiful. The quality of subjectivity is quality of attention or awareness or receptivity or presence that has something beautiful in it. If there's an absence of conceit, if there's an absence of the things that cover it over or hide it. And so, what is it that allows us to tap into this subjectivity? And I think that's kind of part of what will come through practice. But the it helps if we see it as part of the practice. We see it as part of what we're doing, is tuning into this part of ourselves, or part of the world, or this part of this subjective aspect of being. Those of us who read these ancient texts, the English translation, they keep using the word good to translate what I'm translating as beautiful, or which a dictionary probably gives beautiful as the first meaning of it. And it's such a different feeling, just, you know, if you say, you know, to be skilled in meditation is to be skilled in good meditation. That's just a setup for people to suffer and strive, and I'm not good enough, and I'm supposed to be good at meditation, I'm supposed to get concentrated or calm or attain something or acquire something. I'm supposed to be a great meditator. Good meditation. Skilled at good meditation. Watch out. But if the task is to become skilled at what's beautiful, the beautiful aspect of meditation, it's a little hard to be kind of like, oh, I have to get good at it now, you know. Because that very effort kind of obscures the beauty. The beautiful, I think, at least in my mind, is associated with something that is not part of what we will, what we acquire, what we possess. It's not part of what defines us. We can't use it to define ourselves. That's just more conceit. So I don't know, it's probably a better term, but you know, it's kind of a beauty. What's beautiful with it is transpersonal. It's not of the self, even though it's subjective. So to walk in beauty, to live in beauty, to be connected to beauty, to what's beautiful. And some, you know, there's lots of other words that can be used for this. The ancient texts, again, they talk about walking in peace. And maybe the peace and the beauty are the same thing. But maybe there's a different subjective, or maybe different kind of association or feeling around beauty than there is for peace. One of the things that I find valuable about this concept of beautiful is that it's actually always here. Yesterday I had a little bit challenging day, and a minor, I thought at the end of the day, I said, that was like my Job experience. It was like, you know, a lot of small things, but wow, it just goes on and on and on. It could be said it was, you know, easily say it was frustrating, one frustration after the other. But I kept kind of, where's the beauty here? What's beautiful? Let's stay close to what's beautiful here, in the middle of it. And that kind of, it felt like, what was the beauty? The beautiful was kind of like what you had, what I had faith in. So my faith was challenged. But let's stay close to what was beautiful. And that mostly worked. So if what I'm talking about doesn't really make sense to you, you have no reference point for it, then don't worry about it too much, but I hope someday it will. That someday you'll discover something within, without, both in and out, no in and out, that's beautiful. And that's some place you can live attuned to, in harmony with, out of, within. May beauty be with you. Thank you.